This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
I think that with the headlines being what they are today, I understand why people despair. I mean, there is a lot going on, as I know firsthand here at the UN, where we've had more emergency meetings and we have more level 3 humanitarian emergencies than we've ever had before in the history of the UN.
U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Samantha Power has studied genocide, written about it, seen it firsthand, and here she is reacting to some photos from Syria hanging on a wall in an out-of-the-way corridor at the United Nations.
It can feel laborious, and it can certainly feel sometimes like you're pushing water uphill, but all you have to do is walk through the Caesar exhibit photos to know why we're here and why it's worth every ounce of energy that we can muster to try to bring about peace.
We will hear more from Ambassador Power, her outrage, her frustration, and her determination to make a difference for the people of Syria in just a moment. But let's take you to the United Nations last Friday, on a snowy afternoon when the crowds were all excited to see an announced appearance by pop singer Pharrell Williams. The UN was just another squealing selfie moment on a tourist trip to New York City. Williams was late. The snow was intense. But two floors away from the crowds, in a corridor outside where the UN Security Council meets, the footsteps were deliberate. Diplomats moving from office to office. Only occasionally would someone pause to see the somber photos hanging on the wall with a warning. These images are disturbing. And on radio, we can't show them to you, but we can read for you the captions and explanations of this gallery of death. Pictures of torture. Victims of the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad. Abstract words, unembellished, nameless, naming the dead.
This exhibit displays photos of detainees from the prisons run by Syrian authorities that were taken
by a defector from the Syrian army who is known by the pseudonym Caesar.
Upon thorough analysis by a first-rate legal and forensic team, it was concluded that over 55,000
photos Caesar smuggled out of Syria documented at least 11,000 deaths under detainment.
The pictures are unimaginably gruesome. Bodies treated like torn sacks with the life emptied from them in the worst way. Who were they?
Male.
Death attributed Syrian authorities intelligence branch 227.
Child.
Death attributed Syrian authorities intelligence branch 215.
Female.
Death attributed Syrian authorities intelligence branch 215.
Elderly male.
Death attributed Syrian authorities intelligence branch 235.
Bones askew, eyes torn away, mouths crushed. A sleeping face of a child whose end came after an uncountable series of burns. Broken skin, a dark, filthy red. The yellow-gray of death. Rooms full of such bodies. Pictures smuggled out of Syria. Ambassador Power has her own quiet moment with the photos. She slowly steps past each shot, looking and then looking away. And then she sits and joins us for a few moments.
Well, it's hard to find words after walking through that exhibit. Repulsive, outrageous, enraging. I mean, what can one say? Old people, women, kids, this regime has no shame.
Is the removal of this regime in Syria and the fight against ISIS consistent policy goals?
Absolutely. For as long as the Assad regime has been in power, Syria has been a magnet for extremists and terrorists and people who want to avenge the crimes that he is committing. So it will be extremely challenging to bring about the destruction of ISIS for as long as he is continuing to carry out brutality like this, and it'll be impossible for there to be peace in the region while he is ruling in the manner, again, by torturing, by putting barrel bombs on children's heads. I mean, this is not a regime whose existence, whose perpetuation is compatible with peace.
What do you say to people who say that Assad is fighting ISIS as hard as the United States is, but for very different reasons, and that that's something we're going to have to reconcile?
I think if Assad had been fighting ISIS over the last 2 or 3 years, we wouldn't have the problem we have with ISIS. In fact, the regime has exerted far more energy torturing civilians in its facilities and putting barrel bombs throwing barrel bombs out of helicopters onto civilian neighborhoods than it has fighting ISIS. So while the Assad regime's rhetoric has been about fighting terrorism, all that it has in fact done is allow terrorists to flourish within its territory, and its brutality has, again, strengthened the cause of terrorists who seek to recruit people to their cause.
Does the United States have any channel to the Bashar al-Assad regime?
We informed Assad before we began an air campaign about what it was we were doing and warned his forces not to shoot at our planes, but that is the extent of it.
Should there be a channel?
There needs to be a political solution, and the UN has been attempting, through engagements with both the Syria regime on the one hand and the opposition on the other, to try to get things going again in the political space. But while Assad feels he has the backing of Iran and Russia, it is hard for the UN or for a gathering of countries that would include the United States to change his calculus. And so someone certainly needs to have a channel with the Assad regime, because the Assad regime has to be willing to engage in dialogue and bring about a transition, and Assad will need to step down, which is going to require engagement with him. But again, for as long as those negotiations occur and he knows he's got a blank check from Iran and Russia, it's going to be challenging to change his calculus.
We're close to a deal with Iran on nukes. What you've said about Iran's support for Assad, how does that complicate either this situation or the nuclear situation?
Well, the negotiations in Geneva are strictly about Iran's nuclear program and trying to find a way to peacefully deny them a pathway to a nuclear weapon. That is a very challenging assignment in its own right and a very important one. Even in the event we are to get a deal, nobody for a minute think that that in any way mitigates how we should respond to Iran's bad behavior in other respects. The UN human rights report on Iran this year is as bad as any we've ever seen. The number of executions has increased actually quite substantially over the last year and a half. So whether it's support for Assad, support for Hezbollah and other non-state actors, support for destabilizing elements across the Middle East, or internal human rights practices, we will continue to maintain the same policies that we have over many years, which is to push Iran to be a more responsible member of the international community. And any sanctions that are put in place for reasons other than the nuclear program will remain in place.
When you leave, I'm going to go over there and take a picture of one of those pictures. I'm going to take it home to my 16-year-old daughter. I'm going to show it to her. And the first thing she's going to ask me is somebody doing something about this? What would you say to her?
Well, we're doing a lot. We are spending billions of dollars feeding people, and we are providing support to the Syrians who are trying to fight not only terrorism, but also the regime that has perpetrated these monstrous acts. What we're not doing yet, what we have not succeeded in doing yet, is ending the conflict, which is what, given the brutality of this regime, until the regime is no longer in power, until a political settlement has been achieved, they have proven themselves capable of only fighting one way, and that's with blatant disregard for people's dignity, for their lives, and for any of the international norms that we thought were picking up, making progress over the course of the 20th and into the 21st century. So what you can tell your daughter is we're never going to give up, and a regime that commits acts like this will eventually be held accountable. It may feel like that day is a ways off right now because this regime has, again, tragically, the support of two powerful countries, but that day will come, and we have the evidence, we know who's responsible, and they will be held to account.
Ambassador Power, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Washington's ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, speaking to The Takeaway last Friday. Ambassador Power says she wants to break the deadlock over dealing with the Syrian regime in Damascus. She says the fight against ISIS complicates matters in Syria, but there is nothing complicated about the human rights violations taking place under the Assad regime. In an interview with the Associated Press later on Friday, she elaborated on her criticism of Russia, describing Russian vetoes against action in the Security Council as extremely disruptive to the diplomatic process of bringing the civil war to an end, or at least accomplishing what was once the sole mission in Syria for the United States and the Allies, bringing down the Assad regime. Samantha Power did not elaborate on her remarks on Iran's support for Syria beyond what she told us. Syria's conflict is starting its fifth year. Hard to believe. More than 200,000 have been killed. Ambassador Power says at the very least, President Assad should be referred to the International Criminal Court for war crimes, but even that is impossible in the current deadlock. As Ambassador Power walked off to another meeting and another bit of diplomacy before her weekend began, she took one last look at the disturbing photos on the wall. All of us understood that there was nothing in the cards at this point with any prospect of stopping the torture and killing in Syria, which will mean that Caesar, the anonymous dissident with his camera, will have more pictures to take, more images to send to the West, more silent pleas from the dead to do something for the living.